Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When we celebrate the kingship of Christ, we have in mind two aspects of the Lord Jesus' sovereignty in the world. We recognize that Christ is the new Adam. And as the new Adam, he has taken his place as the head of the human race, as the Lord of all mankind. In that Adam failed, Adam, our father and the representative of the human race before God, in that he failed and brought a curse upon the human race, brought an estrangement between his offspring and the Father, Christ, through his most perfect act of obedience which took him to the excruciating death of the cross, and through his most perfect life, superseded Adam before the Father, became the priest of all men and the chief intercessor. So that now God regards Christ as the new Adam and the representative of our race. By his salvific merits and sacrifice, Christ has become really the head of all nations, not only of the Jewish nation which rejected him, but of all nations. And this is one of the main aspects of his kingship, that Christ is the ruler of all nations, and all nations, all the governments of the world, should rule with this in mind, and they should order all things with the kingship of Christ in mind and for his sake. I hope that all of you, upon hearing such a thing, is mindful of how far from that truth the governments of the world act now. It might help you if you are informed about political affairs to mark the contrast between the government of the United States and what it ought to be, were this a Christian nation and were this a nation that recognizes that Christ is its king. You surely know that now all things in this nation are ordered for the merging of this nation into the world socialist state. Policies of the government are directed against the people in favor of the socialist empire, whose present capital is Moscow. Without ever failing to honor more commitments to Israel than it has ever made, so that the subordination of this government is definitely toward international communism and Zionism. If Christ were the chief of this nation, if it were he who must be pleased, this would be a great day in this nation. There would be great public demonstrations of his kingship. There would be public masses. And in all the things that were done publicly and officially by this state, Christ would be honored, his law would be recognized and worshiped, and the children in the schools would be practiced in the virtue of recognizing and honoring Christ, instead of honoring themselves. second aspect of the divine kingship of Christ is, of course, pertinent to ourselves as individuals and with respect to Christ as the head of the church. Christ has established himself as the head of the church by being its head, by being its founder, and by being the source of all the grace that courses through his mystical body. No grace is received except through the body of Christ and through the mystical body, his church. And thereby, Christ is the head of our own souls. He is the king of our lives. And it is he who must be worshipped and honored by all the actions that we perform, all the aspirations that we tend toward, and in a word, all that we do. We cannot, at least immediately, have much effect over our nation. We can surely not have much effect upon the actions of those who now rule us, except by speaking out, perhaps, or organizing for the sake of public opinion. But we surely can have something to do with how Christ rules us as individual Christians and as members of his mystical body. This feast day is given to us to remind us of how completely Christ is supposed to rule us and how sweet is his rule. If you know anything about the slave states of this world, you know that Christ's rule is infinitely more gentle, more considerate, and just, and that all things in Christ's kingdom are ordered for our good. And that Christ, even though the primary purpose of his kingship is the glorification of the most blessed Trinity, the second most important purpose, and that's not contrary to the first, but in perfect accord with it, is that we ourselves be honored through his virtue, that we be made like unto himself, configured to the image of his sonship, so that all the commands that Christ issues us, and all the grace that he imparts to us, and all the love that he shows us, is meant, of course, to discipline us and to bring us under the rule of his order. But all that is for our good and for our happiness and peace. Those are happiest and at peace with themselves who do accept this kingship of Christ, his holy sovereignty, who do subordinate all their wishes and their desires and ambitions to his rule and his holy sovereignty and his eternal designs. These are, of course, most holy words, and the rule of Christ is something that we must strive for within our souls. We must honor him as our king and implore him to rule us, to subdue our restless and our arrogant will, to reveal to us the mystery of his sacred heart and of his most gentle love. We desire that Christ, in a word, show himself to us in such a way that we cannot but love him and gladly serve him, that we cannot but wish to be like him and to sacrifice our wills in order that his will dominate ours through the Spirit. And it should be our effort this day to find some time to read the letter to the Colossians, so that we might be freshly inspired by the holy wishes and prayers of St. Paul, who wished upon the Colossians the fulfillment of the divine sovereignty in their lives.